Blog Talk Radio.
Today is October the 13th, 2020, and this is Sheila Coley. I am your host for this evening, standing in for Mary Hollis. Mary Hollis is always around, so I am giving her a break this evening, and I want to share some great information with you ladies. I am so excited that you're taking time out of your evening to join us. I just want to let you know that it is 2020, October the 13th. We're about the third quarter of the way in, and the next chapter, Widows Ministry, is so grateful. I want to share a little bit because I think we might have some brand new callers on the line, so I just want to share a little bit. There are some of us that are listening in from the website. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about the next chapter, Widows Ministry. First of all, it's a faith-based support group because we just love ourselves from Jesus. And what we do is we encourage widows and we help all of our widows to heal in those years right after the loss of their husband. Do you know that there's nearly 700,000, that's like almost a kabillion women who have lost their husband each year. So you're not in this alone. That can be very traumatic and even a little bit scary, still in that, you know, that a new widow can experience. But you have so many questions. Oh, my gosh, there are so many things that your husband used to do that he's not here to do anymore. Pre-marital counseling, if he did any of that, never, ever prepared you for those lonely nights that you're experiencing. the heartache, the hurt, and those many, many decisions that you now have to make. And the thing about it is that, you know, it doesn't even matter if he was married for a really long time. You could have been married 30, 40, 50, or even 60 years. Or you could have been married for 30, 40, 50, or 60 days. The loss from your husband passing, especially if he was expected or unexpected, there is just so many things that you have to consider. So what the next chapter does is we give widows a unique connection with other widows who understand your sisters, your friends. They love you, but if they haven't actually experienced that loss, they may not exactly know what you're going through. They may not understand why his clothes are still in a closet. They may not understand why you're writing checks with his name still on the check on the bank account. Do you know that grocery shopping can get difficult? You have to go down that aisle, and you don't have to buy that Coca-Cola anymore. You, his favorite candy. So it gets to be difficult, but you know what? God loves you. Widows are a set part of an elite group of people that God has singled out for us to care for them. So actually, our scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3, says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And I like to call you all water-walking widows, and that gives you clout. Don't be afraid to call yourself a widow. Go places and let folks know that I'm a widow and this is what I need. And they have a biblical mandate, even if they don't know it, they have a biblical mandate to help you out. And so what we did a few years ago is that the widows got together and they started writing that story. They started sharing just what it's like to be a widow, the pain, the struggles, the challenges. And so about over 20 of the widows got together and they wrote their own story. Now, everybody's story is different, but they shared their own story. And we put it together in a book called A Widow's Touch. And in that book is a compilation of stories that's designed to provide you comfort, to encourage you. It's designed to give you permission to cry and even get a couple of laughters in there. So we want you to be able to get your book if you haven't done so already. Grab your book. You can get it off of Amazon.com and begin reading and then write your own story. You know, get you a journal, write your own story where you can share your loneliness, your frustrations, your confusion, and even your victorious moments where God is beginning to dry up some of those tears and make that path a little bit clearer for you. So A Journey of Faith dries the tears and turns some of that grief into joy. And we do monthly get-togethers, not so much since COVID, but we do get together using Zoom or conference calls. But we can't wait to get back to doing our trips and community services and our special occasions. But we do have some wonderful things coming up, actually over the holidays, that I'm going to be certain that you're going to enjoy. So that's a little bit about us and what we do. And if you know any other women who have lost their husbands, share this blog talk show with us. Share them the phone number and let them listen in as well. So something happens about when it starts to get a little dark and the world starts to settle down and you start to feel like, I'm here alone. So share the information with somebody else that so that we can be a blessing to not just you but to some others. Now, remember I said we're in the last quarter of the year. Do you know it's only 79 days till we get to say it's 2021? 79 days. That's not a long time, you all. You remember 7 months ago we were shaking hands, giving hugs, going to special events, going to church, having gatherings at the house, cookouts, dinners. We were making vacation plans back up in the spring. I was looking forward to my trip to Costa Rica in May. I even had to renew my passport. My passport came in, and I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to be going anywhere. We picked up new words in our vocabulary like COVID-19, social distancing, shelter in place. Last year this time, we didn't have any idea what those words meant. There's been a technology wave that has almost swept some of us away. Oh, my gosh, we used to talk about the young people, how much screen time they had. Their face always in their phone. They're always on the computer. Well, just be careful because guess what? Some of us are found doing the same things now. We have hours of screen time for work if you get to work from home. My kids and grandkids are sitting in front of screens for school. We even do our doctor's appointments in front of the screen. You know, I want to see the doctor. I called and made an appointment, and it's a tele-appointment. So we either talk on the phone or they send us a link, and we do a face-to-face. We even do church online. I mean, no more choirs processing in on Sunday mornings and, you know, crowded parking lots. So everything is different. But, you know, the good thing now, you can get 2 to 3 church services in one Sunday, maybe even 4 if you're good. We have things like Zoom and FaceTime, WhatsApp, GroupMe, Instagram, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Some of the stuff you may even know that existed before COVID. It's been a real challenge. So much of change. But you know what, ladies? This is the thing I said all of that for. Your world had already changed. You had already experienced a whirlwind of having to do so much different. You already had to figure out how to live life differently without your husband. So now you have to ask yourself the question, so what's next? You know, it's like there's an expression I used to hear older people say, if it ain't one thing, it's two. If it isn't two, three. So, you know, you had the trauma, you know, of losing your husband. Then you had to go through COVID. And some of you all are still choosing to stay in and not be able to spend time with your loved ones the way you want to. Some of our ladies have been hospitalized. And you have to go to the hospital and don't have people come in and crowd up the room and spend time with you. So, but what's next? We got the holidays coming up. You know, what will Thanksgiving and Christmas be like? Who normally cooks in your family? Is it you? You know, who comes up with the menu? Do we get airline tickets? Do we drive? Can you imagine having a Zoom Thanksgiving dinner? Making long-range plans, you know, or even short-range plans sometimes now is different. Life is just different. What do we do with ourselves now? What are our future goals look like? Because everything that we seem to have planned, just nothing seems to have worked out the way we have planned it. But don't despair, ladies. I have some wonderfully good news for you. Grab your pad, grab your pen, get in a comfortable spot to take some notes. Grab your phone if you haven't already and call a friend and three-way them in to join our show tonight, because you're not going to want to miss what God has for you. So I have three questions for you, ladies, three questions. They're not hard questions. They're easy questions, questions you probably have already asked yourself. First question is, why did your husband pass away first and not you? I've talked to a lot of widows, and sometimes that's the question. If you don't verbalize it out loud, it's kind of to yourself, you know, why I didn't pass away first. The next question you might ask, second question is, why is it so hard? Ugh, I've been in church my whole life. I love God. I know I have faith. But it's still hard. And the third question is, when will it get better? When is it going to be easier? When is the grief is going to leave me? So those are three questions I have for you. So the answer to those three questions, and I think I'm going to hear a drum roll. Let me bang on my desk here. The answer that I have for you is, I don't know, ladies. I don't know. I don't know why he left you first. I don't know why it's so hard. I don't know when it's going to get easier for you. So what does God want from you now? I don't know the answer to that either. So round about now, some of y'all probably rolling your eyes at me saying, okay, so what do you know, Sheila? Well, this is what I do know. I do know that God has a purpose for everything. I know that God is so much bigger than I am. I know that he is so much smarter and wiser than I am. And I know that he actually does have a plan for all of our lives. I know that he loves us. I know that that's what I know. So how do I take what I know and translate it? I was running through my, you know, books of things to, you know, share with you tonight, and I came across a book that I want to share a little bit out of with you tonight to kind of help you as we begin to approach the holidays, as we begin to approach that end of the year, as we begin to approach, for some of you, the anniversary of your husband's departure. And so when I think about, so what is this all about? I think about the book that I have here called A Purpose-Driven Life. And I know some of you all probably have heard of it. The author is Rick Warren. And, you know, he says, you're not here by accident. Even before the universe was created, even before Genesis 1 and 1, God had you in mind. And he had a plan for you. And he has a purpose for your life. These purposes will extend far beyond the years you will spend here on this earth. So just think about it. Even though your husband is not here, he is still fulfilling the purpose he has for your husband, because your life doesn't end here. We have eternal life. We can only spend some of those years here. Now, there's all kinds of self-help books that also try to, you know, suggest that you try to discover the meaning and the purpose of your life by looking within you. But you know what? That's not where you really need to start looking. You want to start first looking at God. He's your creator. He is the reason that you're here. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, ladies, life will never, ever make sense. Try making sense out of your life. You can't do it. The more you try, the crazier it gets. So, you know, the Purpose-Driven Life book kind of helps you understand why you're alive and God's amazing plan for you, both like here and now and even in eternity. So God's purpose for creating you will help you to reduce some of the stress, the anxiety, all of the uncertainty. And if you keep in mind that, you know, God has a blueprint for Christian living. And what he wants you to do is to get so close to him and love him so much and let him just love you back. So there are actually five purposes, and this is what I want you to kind of scribble down. You can write it on a notepad. I usually do things on my phone, so you can pull up the notes in your phone. And just jot down these five things. If you have the book, you know, in your library somewhere, go back and wipe the dust off of it, pull it up. And it's not a bad purchase to buy, but you make sure you get the Widow's Touch first. But the first purpose is knowing what on earth am I here for? What am I here for? You know, knowing that it all started with God, you're not an accident, what drives your life. You were made to last forever, making sure you see life from God's view and not yours. Because when I see life from my view, that's not a good view. I can see so much more when I'm in an airplane looking down than I can when I'm on the ground looking around. And realizing that life is a temporary assignment. You know, remember that. This is not our home. We're only supposed to be here for a period of time. We just don't get privy to when we want to leave. I remember being pregnant with my children. The doctor gave me an estimated due date, but he didn't really know. So we don't know always our day of arrival or our day of departure. And also to know that there's a reason for everything. Here's the second purpose. Write this down, too, if you can. You were formed for God's family. Okay? You were formed for God's family. That's what you were formed for. And know what matters most. You have somewhere that you can belong to. You get to experience life together with others, like the other women in the widows group, like people in your church group, your neighbors. You get to cultivate community. You don't have to stand out by yourselves or isolate yourselves. We also can restore broken fellowship. Is there somebody, maybe a family member, a friend, or a coworker that, you know, is just a little uncomfortable when we're around them? Ask God to help you restore that relationship, and as well as being a part of your church home. Third purpose, right? Third purpose is you were created to become like Christ. Now, there's lots of people I think I want to be like. You know, there's an expression that says, I want to be like Mike. Well, as Christians, we might want to say we want to be like Christ. We want to be created to become just like him. We want to be transformed by his truth. And being transformed, sometimes God used troubles to do that. We don't like that, but we do. Every now and then I try to take a walk around Stone Mountain. I'm here in the Atlanta area. And the first mile, oh, I could do that. The second mile, it's not so bad. The third mile, I began to feel that. The fourth mile, oh, my gosh, my legs are hurting. The hill seems like it's so steep. And that last mile, I'm like, that is the longest mile ever. So, and sometimes in life we have those stretches of time we have to do, or we have to bear all things, and it gets hard. And then guess what? We have to defeat temptation. Now, I'm not talking about temptation that's criminal. I'm talking about temptation that makes us want to be depressed, be anxious, be confused. We want to resist that. And then the last part of becoming like Christ is giving God the time that we need to give him to complete the work in us. All right, I have two more purposes, ladies. Hang in there. The fourth purpose is this. You were shaped for serving God. I like to think I was shaped for a nice little cute black dress, but on days that I'm not, I look past that mirror and I was like, ooh, I need something else to kind of help me with that shape. But in the Word, we're shaped for serving God. Accept your assignment. My son is in the military, ladies, and I remember him waiting for his deployment and thinking, and I'm thinking, I wonder if I can call and send him a note from his mom saying, you know, he needs to be home sick, or can he pass this one up? But he's in the service where he doesn't get to reject his assignment. So God has an assignment for each one of us. I don't know what your assignment is. What are your gifts? Do you have gifts of encouragement? Do you have gifts of teaching? Well, accept your assignment. One of your assignments may be to minister to other widows. Who wants to do that? You might say, I don't want to be a widow. But if that's your assignment, ladies, guess what? Accept it gladly, because God is going to give you all the grace you need to complete it. Understand your shape. Use what God has given you. He might have given you a beautiful smile, a great personality, a nice soothing voice. Whatever he has given you, use it to do what it is that he has called you to do. Now, the next one is this. I think we're on five. Yeah, we're on five. Okay, good. I'm good on time, too. So our fifth purpose is you were made for a mission. A mission that may seem impossible to you, but if it's a mission that God has given you, he will equip you with everything you need. Promise you that. We want you to share your life message. Be a witness. Have a testimony. Write your story. Remember in the beginning we talked about writing your story? Write your story. Your story can go something like this. You know, I was married. And then I was not married. And then you just detail the things that, like what life was like when you was married, what life was like before you got married. I was single. I wasn't looking for a husband, but then one came around. I was single. I had been looking for a husband for so long, I thought God had given up on me. It doesn't matter which way your story goes, but talk about it. Talk about that transition, about how hard it was. Talk about some of the worst feelings, the deepest, darkest pains you had. And then you get the transition, because this is where God gets glory. You say, but had it not been for God, then you tell the story about how God is bringing you out. You don't have to wait till he brings you all the way out. Start journaling about the passage on the way out. Because sometimes you have good days and sometimes you don't. Now, you want to become a world-class Christian. You know, we want VIP treatment. We want first-class seating. Tell that message so much that it's not about your pain, but it's about God's reign. It's about God reigning in your life. So through whatever it is that you've been through, you come out victoriously. You want to balance your life. Now, sometimes that's real easy based upon certain parts of our life, and other parts of life, it's really hard. This is some of the few things I try to do every day. I try to drink a lot of water. I try to do just a little bit of exercise. If it ain't nothing but getting a fork from my plate to my mouth, just, you know, exercising that right on, up and down, up and down. Get a little bit of exercise and take your meds, whether it's prescription medicine, whether it's vitamins. Do those three things. Spend some time with God. Read His Word. And sometimes we don't have to talk with God so much. How about if we just be quiet and let God talk to us for a little bit? Just do those few little things. Find some balance in your life. And above all things, remember Sheila told you this, above all things, laugh. Find your funny movie. Find your comedian. You got YouTube. We got the World Wide Web. We got Google. Find something to make you laugh, okay? And then we want you to end up with living with purpose. No more, I don't know what I'm here for. No more, oh, I don't know if I can make it. We're not going to shortchange God like that because we're going to live with purpose. We're going to live with vitality. We're going to live a victorious life. Yes, there's still flesh hanging off our bones and we do feel things that don't feel good. But God has died and He was resurrected so that we could have a victorious life. And so I'm challenging you all. I'm challenging you. You have purpose. God left you here because He left you here with a purpose. Enjoy that purpose. Embrace that purpose. Share that purpose. Spend some time tonight before you go to bed just saying, God, I know my purpose, but I just don't have the energy to kind of fulfill it right now. Or, God, I have no idea what my purpose is, but you know what? I'm going to keep doing something until the purpose becomes clear. So, ladies, I'm telling you now, God loves you so very much. There is so much life left. There's 79 days left. 79 days left to 2021. Don't let this year just slip by and you don't know, you don't have any wonderful memories, you don't have no memorable moments. Take some pictures, take some selfies and post them. Send them to me. Send some selfies out to your girlfriend and say, hey, check me out, girl. Feel the pain, okay? Feel the pain, but then put some Novocaine or that painkiller in there, which is the word of God, which is God's love for you to kind of anesthetize the pain. The pain is still there, but you don't have to feel it so hard. Well, that's what I have for you ladies tonight. Remember, okay, remember this, that you have purpose. God did not make any mistakes. He left you here because there's still some work for you to do. I want you to be excited about it, be happy about it, be joyful about it. Matter of fact, skip some rope, you know, get on the floor, hey, turn up the music real loud and just dance the night away. Because you know what? You didn't have to get this far. So the same God that brought you this far, He's going to take you further. Stay safe, ladies. Wear your mask if you need to. Take your vitamins, drink your water, do some exercises. And join us next week, same time, 10 p.m. next Tuesday. And we want you to remember that God loves you, and so do we. Love you so much. We're going to end in this song that says, Keep the Faith by Charles Jenkins.
When you're standing at a crossroads, what do you do? Real sweet, when a fork is in the road. When the world is on your shoulders. When your back is up against the wall. Come on. What do you do? You hold on. And keep the faith. Tell somebody on your road. Stay. Everybody sitting around you, keep the faith. Come on, encourage somebody else, keep the faith. there's nowhere else to look.
When there's nowhere else to look.
Where do you turn?
When there's nowhere else to turn.
Where do you go?
When there's nowhere else to go.
What do you do?
When there's nothing else to do.
You gotta remember, you're in the Master's hands. And the Master has a plan. So hold on.
Hold on.
And keep the faith.